Hello, hello, and welcome to the Next Level Loan Officers Podcast, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers.
With real originators in the trenches, just like you, every single day.
If they can go there, how come I can't go there? Well, you can't.
Like, if you don't water your plants, you don't have future crops. You can't feed your family. You can't make a living. This is watering your crops.
You have to find your community and you have to dig in.
If it wasn't for you guys, I can tell you, probably my trajectory would have been a completely different one.
We'll see you on the next Level Loan Officers Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Collective Podcast, formerly known as the Next Level LO Podcast. We are excited for today because it's all about sales and marketing, baby. We're going to dig into some CRM. We're going to talk about how do you get those eyeballs. Shane, tell people who we got on the show today.
Well, Darren's a brother from another mother, and we met years ago back when I was a babe in the mortgage industry, and I had no gray hair, a little less focus and a little more energy. But what's so important about guys like Darren, everybody needs to have people in their life that are going to do what's required. They're going to do the things that work in any market. You know, it's easy to have a fast sailboat in windy conditions. It's really hard to navigate a sailboat with little to no wind. And so what I love about Darren had reached out to me a couple months ago to reconnect, and we were just digging in on all the things he's working on from a technology perspective. And it's the same stuff I'm working on. And I bet you it's the same stuff that we're all working on or should be working on. And so, but what I love about Darren is as you watch him coach and lead, it's really not about the technology as much as it is that that's the tool that the best chefs use to make, you know, Michelin star menus, right? But it's not the tool, it's the chef. And so I would love, Darren, to just kind of lean into like some of these thoughts that you've had, some of the strategies and ideas that you've seen really that you're focusing on coaching the people that are working with you and using your products.
Absolutely. Well, Shane, this is always great to reconnect, man. I remember when you were just jumping off the fire truck, you know what I'm saying? And getting in the mortgage business. And Sean, Sean and I go way back too. And Kyle and I, we go back, but not quite as far as it turns out, right?
So about 7 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it's really cool to be chatting with you guys today, and hopefully we can talk about some things that will give everybody a little bit of hope, you know, because entrepreneurs we're always full of hope. And you know, I was actually listening to a podcast just the other day of one of my favorite mentors. And boy, they said something that really rang true to me. And that was, man, when you're an entrepreneur, every day you wake up, you go to war. And who do you go to war with? Your own brain. And it is so true. It's amazing. You always think that you have it solved, you know, like you'll go through your own psychoanalysis trying to figure out, you know, how to grow your business, how to scale your business. And, you know, there's all those insecurities that actually come with that. I mean, we're all human, right? And so you have your hopes, but you also have a lot of doubts. And man, can I actually do this? And you got to go to war every single day. And, you know, that's kind of the entrepreneur's, what should we call it? It's their script, baby. You know, you could get up and just go to work for somebody. They'll tell you what to do every day. You go, come home, you exchange a little time for a little money, and there's nothing wrong with that life at all. But man, if you've got that entrepreneurial bug and you just can't stand that thought, then the trade-off to that is you're going to go to war with your own mind every single day. And that's actually a good thing. There's a lot of growth there, right? Tons of growth. So everybody listening to this podcast has a unique ability and has something that they can offer the world. And I know I'm getting a little bit philosophical here, but man, I'm telling you, if you want to just sit and start talking about tactics, then what happens is you can get into overwhelm really, really quick, because in today's day and age of marketing, there are more tactics out there than you can shake a stick at. And there's more people that will say that their tactic is the silver bullet to stardom, right?
So true.
Right?
Darren, I think that's really important just to pause for a second, because the challenge that most people in mortgage real estate, you know, just entrepreneurs that are looking to grow, I think one of the biggest challenges that I know I have is I know I need to do something different. I go, you know, the thing I was doing, it's no longer working. Right. And I go, I need to do something different. My mortgage business, maybe I think, man, I really need to focus on consumer direct. Like I need to get away from just one style of referral partner that I'm so dependent on. And then we say, but where do I go? And then to your point, I get online and there's 900 people that are experts on something, but yet I can't find any proof that they're actually doing anything successfully. And that's really what I've started to lean in on is just this thought process around, I don't really care to know any more ideas. I don't want any more ideas. There's enough ideas already out there for me to have for the rest of my entrepreneurial life. I want to know how to execute. I want to know the strategy. I want to know the blocking and tackling so that I can make that vision become a reality. And I would love to just dig in on some of those things that you see are really working well. And again, this is a guy, for those of you who don't know Darren, he's not new to the business, right. But you do a phenomenal job of reinventing yourself, right? And I think that's what I find with most great entrepreneurs is every time you see them, you're like, dude, you got something new going on. You got some new idea that's turned into execution. So let's dig in on some of those ideas a little bit that turn into execution.
You bet. Well, let me give you this. Let me give you a formula here. Okay. So this is a formula that applies to any type of marketing that you're willing to do or wanting to do. And it applies to any tools that you use too. Okay. So a quick backstory here. So go way back. We're going to go 20 years back plus. I'm in my final advertising class at BYU. Okay. This is the pinnacle class where they brought in a local Toyota dealership, and they segmented us into groups, and they had us do, you know, marketing research and create actual ads for this dealership, and whoever won would win, you know, a campaign opportunity to do a real campaign, right? So there was a group of six of us, and we're going through all these ad ideas, right? And one of the guys in the group, he says, "Hey, listen, I got this great idea. Let's take a dog and make the dog the mascot for the dealership, and we will shave the logo into the side of the dog and parade him around town," right? Everybody thinks this is funny and thinks it's a great idea. Well, our instructor, who had just retired from a big ad agency in New York, came over to us. He was a pretty sharp guy. And he said, "Okay, guys, what you got so far?" And so the guy in our group, he lays out this whole plan about shaving the dog. You know, we're looking at each other like, yeah, this is actually, this is great marketing. You know, you can imagine you were in our early 20s thinking, man, we're killing it, shaving the dog, baby. And he just kind of looks at us and he says, "Okay, cool. So what's your strategy?" And, you know, we kind of look at each other like, "Well, what do you mean? Do you have to have a strategy to shave a logo on a dog? I don't know." But he looked at us and he said, "Listen, so many people miss this point." He said, "Your content always springs from your strategy, not the other way around." And he said, even big advertising firms miss this big time. So there's a formula that you can apply 30 seconds, okay, to any type of marketing that you're doing. And it will help you get that frame of mind. So the steps are this. There's four things to consider. Number one, who's your audience? Number two, what's the objective that you have with that audience? In other words, when they see your content or hear your message, what do you want them to do as a result, right? Number three, then, what's your strategy or what are the tools that you're going to use to deploy that message to the audience? And then number four is now your content can practically write itself, right? And the issue we have today with overwhelm comes from the fact that there are so many places for content that we get really, really steeped into the content creation right out of the gate. And you don't know who you're creating your content for. You don't know where they're sitting. You don't know what you want them to do. You're just, "Well, I know I got to do a bunch of content. I just throw a bunch of crap out there," right? But if you go back in the day, now, Shane, Now, I bet you Sean might be old enough. I don't know if Kyle or Shane. We'll have to see.
I love that you said that, Darren, that Sean's older than us.
He is way older.
Did we timestamp this for the podcast? Because this needs to be.
Yeah,
not by actual biological age. Years on the clock.
Yeah, I don't want to be presumptuous, but, you know. So anyway, back in the day, if you wanted to run an ad, say a print ad, then you had basically newspaper and you had yellow pages, right? And you could buy that little 4x4 square or however much money you had. And what did you put in that? You would put something really simple. Here's what I do. Call my number if you need help. And the whole goal was to get that phone to ring just from that little 4x4 square, right? So now we have so many tools. But when you simplify it like that and you start thinking, okay, well, if I don't have much space, then it starts to prioritize what your actual message is and how you want to get it out there. So when you go down now to the audience, to the objective, the strategy, and the content, now it simply writes itself. So Shane, let's go through one that you're really, really familiar with, okay? So let's say as a loan officer, your goal is to get more referral partners. So you sit down and you say, okay, who are my referral partners? Well, that's an easy answer right out of the gate. Real estate agents. Yeah, I want to build a network with real estate agents. All right, now you know your audience. So now you've got to come up with an objective. So in that audience, are they real estate agents I already know, or are they real estate agents that are cold? Okay, because that could make a big difference. How far are they down the funnel? So let's say, for example, it's a real estate agent that you have a list of agents that you know or have had acquaintance with. They're a little bit warmer, a little bit further down your funnel, and you want to simply connect with them. Okay, so now you know your audience, and now you know that you want to connect with them. So you just have to decide how. Well, do I want to do a phone meeting? Do I want to do the classic coffee face to face? Do I want to take them to lunch? What do I want to do? Well, I say, you know what? Let me. I know these guys. Let me take them to lunch. I've got how many in my audience? I've got 10 in my audience. I want to take them to lunch. So what's my strategy? My strategy is that I'm going to use the phone. Am I going to text them? Am I going to Facebook message them? Am I going to call them? Am I going to actually write a letter? I know that's not on the phone, but you see, that's where the strategy comes in. It's that delivery method. And you say to yourself, okay, well, actually, it might make sense to just call these guys because I've known them, or maybe I'll even text them, right? And then how do I know? And now I go to step four, which is my content. And now what my content is, that's the script, right? Now, I actually talked through that in a lot longer time it takes to actually just think through it and write it down. So now you've got something really measurable. You've got this campaign that's really simple. You know who you're going to call. You know what you're going to say. And you can measure it. You can say, well, listen, I called 10 people that I already know. I invited them to lunch. I got 4 of them that said yes. I got 3 of them that said, call me back later. And I got 3 that ghosted me. Okay, those are pretty good numbers. So now what do I need to do? Oh, or maybe nobody answered the phone. Nobody ever answered the phone, man. So no, people aren't answering the phone. So my strategy may not be working. I think my objective, my audience is still good, but my strategy is not working. So let me adjust my strategy. So maybe I'm going to text them. So that's how you get out of that overwhelm, is you just apply a lot of this stuff just to the framework. And now, by the way, with that framework, now you can actually scale it out using tools. So to give you an example, when we talk about a CRM, a lot of times people will say, well, I got to get a CRM because I've heard that's the magic bullet. And then they get a CRM, and Shane, what happens? They open the box and then what?
They do nothing.
Right. Why?
Well, it's analysis paralysis.
Yep.
It's, but I think also too, one thing that you talk, I love this four part plan. I think there's a fifth part, which is the reevaluation at the end, which you talked certainly about. But like, if people have never done this, that's probably it might be the most important step. But then they go, okay, so I want to do this and use these tools, but they don't actually take the time to learn the tool.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I mean, if I just said, hey guys, like I'm going to take Facebook Messenger and that's going to be my CRM. There's more to Facebook Messenger than just sending a message in Facebook Messenger.
right?
There's length of video, there's emojis, there's whether or not you're going to show up in their chat versus showing up in their message request. I think what's interesting is people who are winning understand that simplicity typically exposes complexity. So it's a simple strategy, right? Very simple. Who's your audience? Realtors. But then I say, okay, let's once you get good at this, yeah, the complexity of what type of agent?
Yeah.
Yep. What age demographic? Where do they live? What do they specialize in? What's their focus? And what do they want? And then you go, I want to work with agents that are newer to the business, been in the business 5 years or less, that are focused on first-time home buyers, and their number one goal for the next 12 months is to double their lead count. That's a very different audience than realtors. Yep. Now, don't go to complexity before you've done simplicity, right? And I would say that's a long answer to a short question, but even with CRM, even my example, Facebook Messenger, start with sending messages, but then get into the complexity and embrace this opportunity to say, how can I lean into Facebook Messenger? How can I lean into CRM? Because what people do, they go, I need to do something. So they buy something. Because, and that's the biggest problem I find with people with anything like a CRM. They think that their swipe of the credit card is going to solve their problem. That actually gives them more problems. Because now they've got to learn the CRM. And they go, I don't know what I'm doing. Now they're pissed off that they've spent the money. Now they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I've spent the money. And I don't have the time that I had before to be making those cold calls that I actually was good at. Or whatever the case may be. And so before you swipe that card, you have to be willing to say, I am going to become the master of this tool. Because what I know, having coached with a Navy SEAL, having been a fireman that had to learn multiple skills, having now become an entrepreneur, you're not in the infantry, you're in the special forces. And people in the special forces are experts on every tool they touch. They don't outsource all that before they know how to use it. They learn it. And Sean, you and I were talking a month ago about building out a new technology. And you're like deep into like building out a new technology for your team. I know, and I want you to confirm or deny this, you would never pass this to a VA in the Philippines before you were an expert on it.
Absolutely not.
And so like, because if you did, it would fail.
Well, and you know, Darren, the questions that you gave as well to like when, you know, somebody's talking about building out a CRM, when you're asking yourself, like, what's your objective? What's your strategy? Like, and then what am I going to do with it? Like, when we're swiping our credit card for these things, we're like, oh man, this solves the problem without going through that. And I mean, if we're just super honest with ourselves as loan officers or salespeople in general, like we're not good at any of those things. We need step four. We need the content for us. We need somebody to teach us how to use it or videos in order to do that. And we think, oh my God, I'm going to save $100 a month by doing this myself, by paying for it myself, instead of like, oh wait, there's this finished product I could buy that saves me a massive amount of time, has everything built out and has these training videos that I can use as well too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge thing. Look, most entrepreneurs, loan officers, real estate agents, you get really good at your craft, right? And that's what you're spending your time at. In fact, if you go to almost any forum or Facebook group that's loaded with thousands of loan officers, what are they talking about? Their craft. You know, like, hey, I got this 620 credit score. Does anybody have 100% financing for that? You know, I got this underwriting problem. Probably 90, 95% are all about the craft. And that's actually okay, right? That's okay because you got to be good at your craft to help who you intend to help. But that means then of the three processes in business, right? We really have three processes. You have lead gen, you have sales process, which converts leads to customers, and then you have your fulfillment process. Most entrepreneurs spend all their time in the fulfillment process. They just do, and that's okay. And that can be dentists, chiropractors, it doesn't matter. You know, you're in that fulfillment process. But the problem is the fulfillment process in and of itself does not generally bring business. And that old adage, if you build it, they will come, is terrible. That's just terrible advice. So Kyle, you could be the greatest brain surgeon in the world, and you could hone your craft to actually be able to save hundreds of lives, right? But if you're in the basement your whole life and nobody knows about you, then it doesn't matter. You might as well might as well not even have that skill, right?
So true.
Yeah. So that lead gen and sales process on the front end is really, really important. And most of the time people don't get into that lead gen, but fortunately that type of thing, marketing and lead generation can actually be delegated quite a bit. It's kind of nice. So Kyle, if you're that brain surgeon and I'm coming to see you, it's really hard for you to delegate your craft because you're so expert at it. But you might be able to deploy some tools and some expertise that other people have to help people know about what your craft is. That makes sense?
Absolutely, it does.
So,
I love this, Darren. So dig in on this a little bit in the last, you know, like minutes we have here. Talk about some of these tools, because I think that it's 100% true that this 4+1 step process, you know, understanding your audience, the objective, the strategy, writing the content, or having tools generate the content on your behalf or with your support, and then reevaluating to make it better is huge. I think that, as you said this, we're all good at, you know, man, I'm a dentist. I'm getting in there and I'm cleaning teeth. I'm terrible at SEO. I'm terrible at blog writing. I'm terrible at these things. What are some of these tools that you're finding are, or where would somebody start? Who says, okay. Yeah. Darren, I'm with you. I agree. I'm a fulfillment guy. I'm really good at closing a loan. I'm really good at converting a listing appointment to a listing. But man, like, I'm nervous because I hear that. And it's not just writing content. It's creating like the spark for that lead gen, yeah. Right? It's like, yeah. That's really what it is. Because there's so many ways to do that now, which is so fun. Where would you suggest people start?
Okay. This is the best thing, in my opinion, because gosh, I fall into this trap constantly, just so you know. Like, this isn't something that I've personally mastered. It's wake up in the morning and your brain just, you know, thinking about all these different ways you get your message out. But listen, in the end, really, you help somebody solve a problem they have. That's all it's about, right? So if you're thinking about yourself, you're thinking about pitching yourself, people don't care. They do not care one bit. They only care about you in as much as you might be able to solve a problem that they have. So if I were to only put one piece of content out there for the world to see, it would always be an offer, 100%. So real quick, I'm 12 years old, right? I get my neighbor who pays me $3 a day to take care of his dogs while he's on vacation for about 7 days. He gets back, I make over $20. Now, as a kid in the 80s, this is a lot of money. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I just made $20 and all I had to do is feed their dogs for like twice a day. So I asked my dad if he would give me $5 to help me print, because for some reason I didn't want to use my own money. Isn't that funny? Even back then. So what I did is I got a piece of type paper, for those that remember that. And I just wrote on the top, "Are you going on vacation? I can take care of your animals and house, get your mail and stuff while you're gone. Call me for pricing." It was basically that. And I got 100 copies of those and I went around the neighborhood. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't have any kind of sales nervousness or anything. I just thought, this is going to help a lot of people in my neighborhood. And so I just started knocking on doors and handing the flyers. And, you know, I got some of the adults to kind of look at it and whatever. But, you know, I got like 5 calls from that and started up this little business that just kind of grew and grew. And it didn't turn into anything huge. But for a kid that age, I remember one time, one lady paid me $5 a day for a week. And that was $35. I couldn't believe I made $35. But here's the point, okay, is I simply addressed a problem and made an offer to help them solve it. That's it. And this day and age now, we have all this content and all this creation that I call air support, because this is really cool stuff because it helps people foster you and get to know you. But if I could only put one type of content out there, it would be just a simple offer. Do you have this problem? Here's what I've got. Here's how it helps. Here's what to do next. It could be as simple as call me, right?
So, I love this, man. Thank you for sharing this, because far too many of us, and if you're listening to this and you haven't thought this way, it's not your fault. You weren't developed to have this mindset, and I wasn't either.
Right. It's natural.
No, I mean, and pot, kettle, black, I didn't develop my team in this way. We sat down a month ago. We did Fly In Friday for our community, and we brought in a bunch of people, and we were going to do a content creation day. And I asked them, hey, who's your audience? And they said, let's just say it's first-time homebuyers. I said, first-time homebuyers. I said, what's the goal? I want to help them. I go, that's not the goal. Like, what's the goal? And so I think one thing that you need to do is it's like that why times five. It's that question times five. It's like, what is the goal? To help them. Why? Well, because why? You know, and then they start getting into it. It's like, you know, I know that like when I was a first-time homebuyer, my person that helped me sucked and they didn't do a good job and I felt taken advantage of. And I want to be able to make money not taking advantage of people. I go, cool, what do they need? And this goes to offering help. It's hard to offer help if you don't know what people need.
Right.
Now, the reality is we do know what they need because they tell you what they need all the time on social media. People constantly complain, and if you can sift through that. So I think one of the challenges I would just leave the room with is you have to take more time and more effort going through these questions with thought. When I said we're working with this group on the Flying Friday, and they said first time homebuyers, I go,
there goes Shane's internet connection.
What a rookie.
Yeah. Maybe rookie not a moment mistake. Too soon.
There I you dropped. Back. When you sit down with these high-end marketing agencies, it's psychology. Right? They're going through psychology. Why does somebody want to buy a red can of Coke? They talk about what does red invoke in your thought process? And when the bubbles are like the fizz is happening, what is that doing? When you sit down with a first time homebuyer and you say, what's their age group? Well, they're older today than they were before. What are those people that are in their late 20s, early 30s? What are they thinking? What's their frame of reference, their state of mind? They're kind of tired of the man always winning. They're kind of tired of being in a massive amount of student loan debt. They have these different challenges. And if you can address their challenge with your offer, you will always win.
Yeah.
And so for me, what I would say is, hey, if you're looking at first-time homebuyers, you're not looking at first-time homebuyers. You're looking at 27 to 35-year-old females that are $63,000 in debt. They have a frame of reference and a mindset of, you know, most people in the corporate world, they don't trust. And so you start to build out the actual persona of the person, the demographics, their challenges, their weaknesses, and it makes it very easy to identify an offer.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, you got it. Okay, so so that's key, right? So here's the thing is just two thoughts on this, because I know we're probably getting short on time here, but two thoughts on this. The one thing about putting the offers out first is there's far fewer variables that you have to adjust, right? It could be tweaking the audience. It could be tweaking your price. It could be, you know, some of those things. But in any case, but making sure that offers are always out there. Now, where does the role of technology come into play? Okay, where does CRM, what about all these channels that we can communicate out on now? All those are simple ways to scale your offer out to the right audience. So now we've got tools that can organize our audiences very, very well. We've got tools now that can communicate with our audiences on the channels that they're coming in at. So back in the day, it used to be call me on this phone number, right? And if the phone was ringing, your ad was working. If it wasn't, it wasn't. But now you've got all your social media channels, all your Google My Business, you know, text, email, everything, right? And so now, and you've got customers and prospects that are living out in those arenas, but you're not going to be an expert at all of them. It's impossible. Really, it's impossible to be expert at every single one of these. And so if you can bring a tool like True Partner AI built on the high level platform that can aggregate all of these into one location, you don't have to be an expert. And now you can take that offer, and instead of going door to door like I did when I was 12, you can actually scale it out by the thousands in just a few clicks. So, because a key point to your offer is getting it out to enough people, right? So if I took that door to door to one or two people, it just wouldn't have flown. 100 people, I got 5, right? So what if I would have taken that, was able to get that whole thing out to 10,000 people? So to give you an example, you know, we used to run a little get together for real estate agents, you know, a little while back. And, you know, we would call them and invite different ones. And we'd usually get, I don't know, it wasn't a big number, like 20, right? We'd get 20. And so once we started deploying TruePartner AI, I was like, you know what? Why are we even having the team call? I just dumped a list of 350 realtors that we didn't even know, honestly, into the system. Boom, had an invite, a quick little registration link. I got 20 people signed up that I didn't even know. And it literally took me 5 minutes. So that's the whole point of a CRM. The whole point of tools like this is it's simply to just take what you're already good at and your offer and scale it out, right? And then you just eat the elephant one bite at a time. Just get better and better as you go. So it's really it. It's that simple.
Well, I love it, guys. Well, Kyle, Sean, close us out, man. My internet's obviously just it's I got like bargain basement prepaid internet, I guess, unbeknownst to me. So I'm
sure. I thought it was fiber, but hey, yeah. Darren. So TruePartner AI, somebody just go to TruePartnerAI.com. How do they find out?
Yeah, you go to TruePartnerAI.com or TruePartnerSuccess.com. Either one. Yep, we just sign up. We have it's a monthly membership. Depending on how you scale, we have it for single users or for teams. We've also got, now, by the way, it is built on the High Level platform, which in my opinion is the best marketing platform out there. We customize it for your business, and we have tried and true tested campaigns pre-built. And plus I've got some other really cool things that are built right into it, like running your Facebook ad campaigns right out of it, as well as some other additional marketing training if you want. But what we don't want is we don't want people opening the box and doing what typically happens, what I've been guilty of a million times, and that is, I'm not doing anything with this, right? We want you getting results right out of the gate. So part of this software, it's not just about the software, right? Anybody can buy software. You can buy a high level off the shelf, right? But we have a 12-step marketing plan that will take you step by step, because we want you sending your first email within 24 hours. We want you launching your first social media campaign within a few days, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's step by step. And once you grow into it, you'll find, oh, wow, this actually is a very, very easy platform to use. And you'll have no idea what you did without it. So, yeah.
It's incredible.
TruePartnerSuccess.com. Head on over there. And we've got more cool stuff that we're always rolling out to help you get business. That's what it's all about, right? Everybody just, in the end, everybody wants customers. And how do they want them? They want them immediately. They want them with very little work, additional work, and they want them risk-free. I mean, that's the silver bullet, right? So that's what we're always after.
Darren, this has been awesome, man. We're so honored to have you on the show. We're honored to have you inside of the coaching program as well, just contributing. Guys, this is what we're all about. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, go to becomingl.com. You can see how you can join this movement, this collective of people, because we want to see people get to that next stage to be able to grow. And it's guys like you that make it possible. And so cannot thank you enough for jumping on with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Kyle. You're awesome. All you guys are really great.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah, we're amazing. that's why we're here.
Well, and I think too, like, we're going to see more of Darren inside and
that's right.
On the other side. And I think that's something, because you need to surround yourself. Kyle and I were talking about, you know, our fundamental four. And one of the last things we talked about was surrounding yourself with people that help you make things better in your life and your business. And again, if there's no wind out there, Darren's a guy who's going to re-engineer an oar to work better than anyone else's oar. And we'll be in sailboats racing with oars when everybody else is sitting there waiting for the wind to change. And I love that. And that's what's fun about being an entrepreneur. Guys, we'll see you on the other side. Thanks again for, you know, digging in and watching.
Peace out.
Thanks so much, Shane. And it's actually an outboard motor.
I love it, man. I love it. Thanks, guys.